right now, we're going to turn to God's Word. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your Word. And Lord, I thank you for people who have just chosen to take time out from their busy weeks just to worship you and, Lord, to hear what God has to say. And so, Lord, I just pray for hungry hearts out there right now, that, Lord, you'll satisfy their hearts with the Word. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said at home, I can feel the vibes of amen coming out of the TV screen. Well, I hope your prayer life is doing really well, because recently here at Real Life Church, we've been talking a lot about prayer, and that's an important theme for us. And our theme Bible verse over the last few weeks has been 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which encourages us to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you're praying every moment of your day. It just means prayer is very much a part of your life, and you never give up on praying. So we say thank you to the Lord that we can pray also about everything. We spoke about that a few weeks ago. We also spoke about how we can thank God that we can even shape our worries into prayers. I wonder if you've been doing that lately, shaping your worries into prayers. But since prayer is our theme, we're going to begin this message today by looking at the most significant and the most powerful and the most extraordinary prayer meeting in all of human history. Now, maybe you've never attended a prayer meeting. After this, you're going to want to attend a prayer meeting, I can tell you. This particular prayer meeting that we're going to look at shook the world, and it continues to shake the world today. It really does. And I just want to say this too. Did you know that prayer meetings can still shake the world? Did you know that prayer meetings can still shake a community, shake your family? Amen. And so today I'm talking about the prayer meeting that we read about in Acts chapter 1. And when I say the word Acts, that's the name of a book that's in the New Testament in the Bible. That's what we're looking at. And in the first chapter, Acts has 28 chapters, and they're very short, it's an easy read. But in the first chapter, we read about the ascension of Jesus to heaven after his resurrection. For 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus had appeared to his followers on numerous occasions. And in fact, the Bible says that Jesus appeared to over 500 of his followers. And so just before he ascended to heaven from the top of the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave some final instructions to his followers. And this is what Jesus said. We'll have it on the screen there. Jesus said, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Wow. Then he continued and he said this in Acts 1 verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And that was it. Jesus had nothing else to say. That was it. Had nothing else to say at all. And he just then ascended up into heaven. And imagine watching Jesus ascending up into heaven. And the Bible tells us that just as Jesus ascended up into heaven, one day he's going to come back in like manner as well. You know, often when you go away on a trip, particularly when your kids, you're leaving your kids behind, your older children to look after your house, when you go away on a trip, actually it's your final words, often the most important words, aren't they? You know, remember to put the rubbish out. Remember to clean the house. You know, because you want to remind people of what you expect them to do while you're away. And of all the many things, when you think about it, that Jesus could have said before his ascension into heaven, all the things he could have spoken about, love, forgiveness, you know, you think of all the many topics he has previously spoken about. Of all the things he could have spoken about, Jesus chose to remind his disciples that the gift of the Holy Spirit was coming to them, and that they needed to wait for that gift before they left Jerusalem. And so what that means is that that supernatural event that Jesus was talking about, of the Holy Spirit coming, was of the utmost importance to Jesus Christ. And you know, even today, receiving the Holy Spirit remains important to every follower of Jesus. Have you received the Holy Spirit? So, after the shock, I mean, I'd be shocked watching somebody ascend into heaven. They were shocked. After the shock and also the sadness of seeing Jesus leave, ascend into heaven, the disciples then decided that it was time to go down the Mount of Olives, which is not a big mountain. I've actually been up it, driven up it. It's not very high. They went down the Mount of Olives and then back into Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was starting to fill up with lots of tourists. It was tourist season and lots of pilgrims because the national festival was just 10 days away. So there was a lot of people in Jerusalem. But somehow the disciples had still managed to rent out this large upstairs facility for them all to go and stay in and wait for the gift that Jesus had spoken about. So, for me at least, this raises a question. They all went into this upstairs room to wait for this gift, but what activity did they then engage in? Did they play Monopoly? Did they play chess while they were waiting? What activity did these followers of Jesus engage in their upstairs room in order to occupy their time for this gift when it was going to come? Well, we know from the Bible says this in Acts 1:14. They all met together in the upper room, and this is what they did. It says, they were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. That's the family of Jesus. So what did they do? These early followers of Jesus prayed together in that upper room. They had a prayer meeting, and it appears that it was actually spontaneous. They didn't advertise it. You know, I don't think they planned it. It was just utterly spontaneous. They went back. What are we going to do now? Who knows? Somebody said, well, let's just pray. Let's pray. And the truth is that they had no idea that their little prayer meeting, their spontaneous prayer meeting, was actually going to become the prayer meeting that shook the world. And I want to say how today we need more prayer meetings that will shake our world today. I remember many years ago as I was preparing this message, I had a flashback to my youth. During high school days, I mentioned before, I went to Belmont Senior High School. And I remember, there's a gentleman who comes to our church. He's my brother-in-law now, Mr. Gary Butcher. And we were young men, 14, 15, 16-year-olds. And many days after school, we would ride down to the local church we attended, and we used to go into a room there, and, you know, we would seek the Lord, and we would seek God. Just two teenagers, we used to seek God. We used to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I used to speak in tongues. He always used to interpret. That's how it used to work. There's only the two of us. And we prayed, and we sought the Lord. In fact, we used to go so many times to the prayer meeting that we both got into trouble by our parents for not doing our chores at home because we were praying. Amen. That's true. But my point is that those prayer meetings are still having a ripple effect upon our lives today. Prayer meetings can shake the world. They can shake your family. They can shake your own life in Jesus' name. It's interesting. I'll just share this. And Gary, I know you're watching this broadcast right now. I don't mean to embarrass you, my dear brother. But I remember in that prayer meeting, I remember as Gary, we got on our bikes to go home. And you said to me, before you rode down Epson Avenue in Belmont, you said to me, as a 15-year-old boy, God's called me to serve him in high schools. And what are you doing today? You're a chaplain in the high school. Praise God. See, prayer meetings can shake your life. So I just want to encourage you to get together with people. Your prayer time with your connect group or the youth group or neighbors. You might pray with your neighbors or even your family. You know, you might think, oh, that's just a simple thing. Really? It could turn into something that shakes the lives of those around you. So over the last few weeks, we here at Real Life Church, we've looked at the wonder and the privilege of prayer. And I'm really working hard to stir your hearts up to pray more. That's what I'm trying to do, you know. And, you know, there are different kinds of prayers that you can pray as an individual. and the different kinds of prayer meetings that you can be part of with other people, and that's all good. And you know, and the reason why we have different kinds of prayers is because we pray according to the situations of life that we find ourselves in, and according to you know, what we're burdened with at that particular time. And God's really cool with all of that. You know, He's really cool with any kind of prayer, and God just delights in our prayers, and he responds. He responds to our expectancy and our faith in Him. But the kind of prayer meeting that took place in that upstairs room 2,000 years ago ended up being powerful because of a couple of key reasons. I just want to look at those in just a moment. It was powerful because of a couple of key reasons, and we really need to know what those reasons are because we want our prayer meetings to be powerful too. Now, the amount of time that they prayed together in that upstairs room was not one of those key reasons. That is not why the prayer meeting was so powerful. Now, their prayer meeting did go a long time. It ended up going for 10 days. Isn't that amazing? It was a 10-day prayer meeting. That's a very long time to pray, but that was not the main reason for the powerful results of the prayer meeting. In fact, there's been many other prayer meetings that have gone longer than 10 days, prayer gatherings that have gone longer than 10 days. There's actually a group called the Moravians, and some of you might have heard of the Moravians, in Europe during the 1700s. They have the record for the longest continuous prayer meeting that never stopped. Now, the people rotated through their prayer meeting. The Moravians, you see, they were evangelistic and they were passionate about missions. And they had a prayer meeting that lasted from 1727 until 1826. They prayed for 100 years. Now, that's what you call a prayer meeting. And they ended up sending missionaries all around the world. In fact, out of that prayer meeting, they sent some missionaries out that ended up having an impact upon John Wesley. And we've all heard about John Wesley, that brought revival to England. See, prayer meetings can shake the world. The length of time was not the significant factor in the upstairs prayer meeting, because sometimes even a short prayer meeting can have powerful results. The other thing is that the size of the crowd in attendance was not a significant factor. In fact, the Bible tells us how many people was there. It says in Acts 1:15, it says, during this time when about 120 believers were together. And you can read that yourself in Acts 1. There was 120 people there. So 120 people in that prayer meeting, I reckon that's a good-sized prayer meeting, absolutely. But, you know, there have been many prayer meetings with much larger crowds, but less impact. The truth is, you can have a powerful prayer meeting with two people. You could have a powerful prayer meeting with three people, four people, as well as with 1,000 people. The size of the crowd in the prayer meeting was not a key, not a significant key to their prayer meeting being powerful. So what made this prayer meeting so profound? Maybe we could talk about it next week. Who would like to know? At home, would you like to know? Yes, here we go. What made this prayer meeting so powerful? Firstly, the first key, two simple keys. The first key was this. Firstly, we are told that they were constantly united in prayer. What does that mean? What does constantly united in prayer mean? What does it actually look like? Because I like visual images. Well, most of us at home and the people who are here, you know that the Bible was never written in English. You know, English has been evolving over time, hasn't it? The Bible, the New Testament in particular, was written in ancient Greek. Not the modern Greek of today, but the ancient Greek. And a very unique Greek word is used here that stands behind the phrase constantly united. And here's a Greek word on your screen right now. And I'm not even going to attempt to say that Greek word, because I struggle just to speak English, let alone speak Greek. So that's why you've got it on the screen. But let me quote from the Blue Letter Bible as it describes the image that the Greek word conveys, this Greek word conveys. This is what it says. The image behind that word is almost musical, where a number of notes are sounded which, while different, harmonize in pitch and tone as instruments of a great concert under the direction of a concert master. What a beautiful picture to apply to a group of people who are praying together. To God, those people praying together, they're like a great concert under the direction of a concert master. Because you see, that prayer meeting, not everybody was the same. They were different. That prayer meeting in the upper room was made up of a variety of people from different backgrounds, different personalities, and different life experiences. They were a lot like real life church. In fact, in that culture of 2,000 years ago, in that day, like there is in other places of the world today, there were multiple social tensions that could easily have ruined their impromptu prayer gathering. Ordinarily, if it was not for Jesus, these people would have had no reason to even gather together as friends or talk to each other. But because of their allegiance to Jesus Christ, they laid aside their differences and their personal aspirations. And although very different from each other, their praying together sounded like sweet music in the ears of God, in the ears of Jesus. Their hearts were in harmony together because they were centered on the concertmaster, Jesus Christ. And so this unplanned, spontaneous prayer meeting full of all sorts of different kinds of people with all their pet subjects and pet politics and conspiracy theories about COVID-19. This unplanned prayer meeting with all these mixed up people, because they joined their hearts together, it took on an atmosphere of holy oneness. Did I say conspiracy theories of COVID-19? I got a bit carried away. And we know, come on, listen everybody, we know from the Old Testament that God commands blessings upon unity. We don't think it's very important because we're so into ours. We're so into the individual, my rights, my pet subjects. But you know, God's right into us coming together as one and joining our hearts together as one. And I just say, oh, that we're here at Real Life Church, in the church, wider church, we need to place a greater value on being in one accord with each other, where we seek the good of God's kingdom rather than pursuing our small ambitions. So these people had a powerful prayer meeting, firstly, because they were constantly united as one. That was the first reason. Second reason. Second key reason for the upstairs prayer meeting being so significant was because of their unique prayer agenda. What was their agenda for their impromptu prayer meeting? In other words, what was on their prayer list? What did they write on the whiteboard to pray about? What were they praying about? Well, other than sorting out a replacement apostle for the traitor Judas Iscariot, their agenda was actually really light on. There wasn't much of an agenda. Now, I'm sure that over those 10 days, they probably prayed all sorts of prayers and that kind of thing. But their overwhelming purpose for praying together, their main reason, one main reason, was because they were waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they did not know how the Holy Spirit was even going to come. They'd never met him before. They didn't know what was going to happen and how he was going to appear. They had no idea. Jesus had said, wait. And so they waited with expectation. They didn't wait hoping so. They waited with expectation. Jesus said he was going to come. That meant he was going to come. And so they were waiting. That was the agenda. And you know, waiting for God, I know this kind of language is kind of foreign to a lot of us in our culture today, but waiting for God features a lot in the Bible. It really does. And well, did you know that really waiting on God is part of a Christian's experience? For example, Psalm 27 verse 14 urges us to wait patiently for the Lord. Psalm 130 verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, he who waits upon the Lord will renew his strength. Waiting on God means just to slow it down a bit and get in tune with him and his agenda. You know, in our culture, we want God to get in tune with us and our agenda. But waiting on God switches that all around. We're saying, I'm slowing down and I'm deliberately, intentionally choosing to get in tune with you, Almighty God, and what your agenda is. And I guess that does take time to do that. Psalm 46 verse 10 even says this, be still and know that I am God. You know, and in that upper room, those followers in their impromptu prayer meeting, those followers of Jesus, as they went into that prayer meeting, as the first day passed, the second day passed, they progressively got the noise of the world, the busyness of their life out of their hearts and out of their ears. And I want to say, what a very noisy and what a busy world we live in today. Everything's shouting for your attention. You know, we're either too busy or too exhausted to wait on God anymore. We don't have time for that. You know, we want things now. We want things instantly. You know, many of us can't even wait patiently for the traffic lights to change to green, let alone to wait on God. We even struggle these days to sit still for 5 minutes without picking up the mobile phone and looking at the screen for some visual stimulation. Here's a test. Here's a test for you this week. See if you could put your phone to one side and sit for 10 minutes. Let's say 10 minutes without touching it. See if you can do that. Some of you probably could, but I know there's a lot that would really struggle with that. We've become so saturated with visual and audible noise that we miss the still, quiet voice of God because there's just so much going on in our heads. And no wonder we're tired all the time. No wonder we live tired all the time. We're just so exhausted with all the noise. Seriously. The agenda of these people in that humble upper room prayer meeting was to wait on God and get the noise of the world out of their hearts, where God's divine voice would become louder than the noise of their busy lives. So by being constantly united in prayer, with no dominating agenda other than waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual atmosphere in the upstairs room shifted. It shifted. And the atmosphere now was set up for a move of God. Have you ever felt the spiritual atmosphere change? I'm sure you have. We sense it in church lots of times, don't we? I've sensed it many times. I've sensed it where, you know, you could be in an oppressive atmosphere, even in somebody's home. But when we praise God and when we worship God and get in tune with Him, the atmosphere shifts. The atmosphere changes. I'm talking about spiritual atmosphere that you can feel, and it changes with the presence of God. Powerful prayer meetings are the ones where there is a shift in the spiritual atmosphere as God gets ready to move. And we need the atmosphere in our homes, in our church, and in our community to shift. And you can't do that through the efforts of mankind or church programs. We do it through the efforts of waiting on God and seeking the face of God. Then on the 10th day of that upstairs prayer meeting, which happened to coincide with the first day of the Jewish feast of Pentecost, the promised gift came. He came, the Holy Spirit came. He came completely different to what they thought. He didn't knock on the door. He didn't say, hello, anybody there? He just came like a mighty rushing wind from heaven. Roaring wind, the Bible says, from heaven. That just filled the whole room. And then the Bible says flames of fire appeared and set upon the heads of each person in the prayer meeting. How cool would that be? Right now in your lounge room, if the Holy Spirit would come like a rushing mighty wind into your home and flames of fire fell upon your heads. And then he says that they all spoke into other languages, tongues, as the Holy Spirit enabled them. How cool is that as well? And may the winds of the Holy Spirit fall upon you this Pentecost Sunday in Jesus' name. Now these followers of Jesus, you know, they had spent time, hadn't they? 10 days is a long time. I don't know if I could last 10 days, you know. They were incredibly disciplined. These followers of Jesus had spent time waiting on the Lord, but now they were receiving from the Lord. They had spent time waiting on the Lord, but now they are receiving from the Lord. I'm trying to make a point here. They spent time waiting on the Lord, but now they were receiving from the Lord. There is a time for waiting on God, and there is a time for receiving from God. There is a time to be still in your soul and know that He is God, and there is a time to raise a hallelujah. And the gift of the Holy Spirit that was given that day caused heaven to spill out onto the streets of Jerusalem. and that city filled with tourists from all around the world was rocked by a visitation of love and wonder and salvation, and 3,000 people got born again that day. Boy, I'd love that to happen in Gosnells. Wow. I really would like that to happen in Gosnells. Wow. That humble prayer meeting is where the church began. And they didn't intend to start the church in that prayer meeting. It just happened. And the ripple effect of that prayer meeting continues today, because I'm talking about it. It's affected us all. Nonetheless, I'm nearly finished, and thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. And then I want us to pray the Holy Spirit in just a moment. But the battle for the souls of people still continues today as Christ's return is drawing near. This week, we here at our community services, we just received some very sad news. Really upset. I was very upset with the passing of a lady who was well known on the streets of Gosnells. I won't mention her name, but I would see her walk in the streets and always give her a greeting. And this lady, she lived a sad, she was a broken person, really broken. And we ministered to her as best as we could. She would sometimes show up on a Sunday morning, some of you would have seen her, and she wanted to access our food and the resources that we have. And I spoke to her, invited her in many times to come and hear about Jesus, come into the service, but she resisted and wouldn't do that. But she's passed away now, and we can't help her anymore. And we're starting almost here at church to start about making a list of all the people who are passing away before their time around here in this community. You know, it's sad, broken people. And it makes me sad. It makes me really upset. Really upset. Seeing the work of the devil in people's lives causes me to be angry. Seeing what drugs do to people, young people, it screws their lives right up. People with full of potential, full of possibilities, are just having their lives destroyed with drugs. It makes me sad. And it makes me really mad at the devil. And you at home, you probably feel the same way. Of course you would. You feel the same way maybe about your family even, and your friends. And you know what? It's a good thing to get angry with the devil. Don't get angry with your friends. Don't get angry with people. But it's good to get angry at the devil. He's our enemy in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I reckon when you're angry at the devil, it helps you to pray better for other people. Absolutely. And our generation, you know, this community where we all are, desperately needs a visitation of divine love and wonder. So in conclusion, what I want to say is, and challenge you, and I know this is a bit uncomfortable, but it's time to go back to the upper room. It's time for us as individuals, the people of God, Real Life Church, it's time for us to go back to the upper room and what it represents and have a Holy Spirit encounter. We all need a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit. It's time to be in harmony with one another. You know, we're all different. You know, maybe if we weren't Christians, we probably wouldn't even hang out with each other. Some of us, I get all of that. But God thrusts us together for such a time as this. And we've got all our opinions about every subject under the sun. But let's put them all to one side. And for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of Jesus, let's love one another and seek to have our hearts in harmony with one another. Time to wait on God. And so this Pentecost Sunday, let's stir our hearts to receive the Holy Spirit afresh. Let's pray with other people. Why don't you do that? Get a mate you can pray with, like I used to pray with Gary. Pray with your Connect group, you know. Pray with your family. Pray with your friends, you know. Wait on God more than you ever have before. You know, and I just want you to, you know, this. Here at Real Life Church, please listen to me. Don't switch off just yet. Here at Real Life Church, we have a very humble prayer meeting here every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Please come if you can. Why not do it? Put yourself out there. Join your hearts with people. Come and wait on God. We have a men's prayer group here every Wednesday at 7 a.m. And it's a great men's prayer meeting on your way to work, guys. Pop in for 15 minutes. But we got to get stirred up. We got to do something. We got to seek the face of God. And as we come back to church and things start to become normalized, I want to organize a giant prayer meeting. And I said I would do this earlier in the year. Wouldn't it be great if we had a giant church prayer meeting where the bulk of our church came to the prayer meeting? Come on. Now I've got a few people in the room here. I'm going to say to them, come on. Wouldn't it be great? Waiting on God, seeking God for the sake of being filled with the Holy Spirit afresh. But right now, I've run out of words. but right now, yeah, the band had come up. Right now, what I want us to do is I just want us to finish by praying that you will receive a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. Receive the gift. Maybe you've never received that gift. You love Jesus so desperately. You're a good person. Absolutely. You're in the Word. You're following the Lord. Why don't you just relax right now as we just as I just pray. And then we're going to sing a worship song. And then Pastor Bethwyn's going to bring some concluding comments. But let me just pray right now for you. We don't want to be the same anymore, do we? We want to change. The Holy Spirit has been given so we can be filled with Him today. Let's pray. I want to pray for you. Lord, I just thank you for hungry hearts. I thank you, Lord, that there's people at home right now whose hearts are just so thirsty. Good people. I thank you for a real life church. My brothers and sisters, what a great church. What a great congregation. I thank you, Lord, that you have thrust us together for such a time as this. We've got young people, old people, people who are born here, people who come from overseas. Some people, Lord, are unemployed. Other people have got great jobs. Some people have been well-educated. Some are yet to get well-educated. Lord, we're a mix. But you brought us all together for such a time as this. And we just pray for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Real Life Church and upon hungry listeners today at home. Pray for people in their homes right now. I just pray you just blow gently upon people's hearts and into their minds. Hungry hearts, thirsty hearts. Lord, I pray for people who are dry. Lord, during this COVID-19 season, it's been hard to stay connected and we can get dry. And Lord, we just pray for rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit, Lord, to put an end to the dryness today. Pray for that fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. In Jesus' name. And maybe just for a moment, why don't we speak in tongues just for a moment? That was one of the signs, wasn't it? Maybe you've never done that before. Why don't you, from your heart, just speak in tongues. You know what you're saying. Because you pray, your spirit's praying. But why don't you do that right now? At home. Come on, family. Come on. Come on, Dad. Come on, Mum. Come on. Just for a minute. Just for a minute. Come on. Shabaraka baraka sandai. Sabaraka riandaka shandai. Borandaka sabaraka shandala. Shabaragara Bodaragarianda. Buragariada Kashandaranda. Buragarianda Kashandaranda. Buragarianda Kashabaragarianda. Seboragarianda Garianda Kobaranda. We worship you. We worship you. Christ the Lord, we worship you. We honor you. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Jesus. Shabarabodaragarianda. And Father, we just pray that the second half of 2020 will be a half of the year that is a year where we're drenched in the Holy Spirit. We speak unity over our church. We speak love over our church. And we pray and speak fruitfulness over our church. I bless each family that's listening to this broadcast today. Each single person at home listening to this broadcast today. Whoever you are, wherever you are, I bless you. In the name of Jesus, and may God's presence be strong with you this Pentecost Sunday in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, God bless you, everybody. Thank you so much for listening.